Broadcasting from the Taz and Lake Lodge Studios.
Sporting Journal Radio.
Sporting Journal Radio. The Midwest's radio home for the outdoors.
Online at sportingjournalradio.com.
Welcome to the show. I'm Brett Amundson. Thank you for tuning in across the network, on demand, sportingjournalradio.com, or by subscribing to the podcast. We want to just say we're glad everybody made it off Red Lake safely. Those anglers that were stranded out there, Dan Amundson, my nephew, one of those included. He's going to talk about that experience coming up here in just a couple of minutes and just why they went out there. We'll also find out how the fishing was and what they were using to catch fish, and just what the lake looked like before that crack opened up. Also check in with Joe Henry to get ice conditions on Lake of the Woods and talk about an experience he had in the deer stand here this past week. Curtis Blake from Haybale Heights Campground Resort will join us as well to talk about Devil's Lake and what conditions are like up there right now, and probably talk deer hunting too. And for you deer hunters out there, I got to say, first of all, I think it's been a pretty good year. I've seen some pretty nice bucks taken, and I don't know if our deer numbers are going back up again, if people are being more selective with the bucks that they harvest, or to me, my theory that I've been working, I've had this discussion with a few people now, with the deer season being back just a little bit, and for whatever the conditions, the stars aligned, I feel like the rut was a bigger part of the gun season this year, and that's why more people are having cracks at those bigger deer, those bigger bucks. I still have to fill my tag. I'm going out with a bow, but I'm going to be spending some serious time in the stand here over the next week or two. Hopefully, I can still take advantage of that rut time. We'll talk about deer hunting and deer cameras and trail cameras with Trent Marsh from Spy Point. I'm really excited about trying out some of these cameras that transmit some images. They can shoot some HD video. We're going to talk about some of the latest innovations in trail camera technology with Trent Marsh from Spy Point coming up this week here on Sporting Journal Radio. It's brought to you by Prairie Sportsman, our new season of the TV show on Pioneer PBS and on all the PBS stations around Minnesota. That also goes across North Dakota on the Minnesota channel and out to the Missouri River in South Dakota. You can watch it in parts of Wisconsin and Iowa as well. The new season starting in January. PrairieSportsman.org for more details about the TV show. By Mid-Migration Outfitters in that Lac Parle area, we're finally getting excited about goose hunting. We've had a big push of Canada geese here in the last week. We've got large numbers of birds coming off the refuge. We've got our big 10-person heated pit with a cook stove in there right off the refuge. So we're going to be guiding out of that pit. If you want to join us this fall down here, give us a call. Check us out at midmigrationoutfitters.com. It's brought to you by Tazen Lake Lodge, Trophy Lake Trout, Northern Pike Fishing in northwestern Saskatchewan. TazenLake.com for more details about that. By Haybale Heights Campground and Resort on Devil's Lake, offering guided perch trips out of Snow Bears. Go to HaybaleHeights.com. And of course, by Lake of the Woods Tourism, plan your trip to Lake of the Woods at LakeOfTheWoodsMN.com. Our next guest has been in the news lately. It's my nephew, Dan Amundson. And I figured we should probably have you on the radio show to talk about what happened, since this has been the big news for outdoors people in the last week here. You were fishing on Red Lake, and you sent me some pictures and said, yeah, we just got rescued off Red Lake. So I put them on the Sporting Journal Radio Facebook page. And next thing I know, you're on WDAY in Fargo. First of all, let's start from the very beginning. You and some buddies start thinking about going fishing. What prompted you to go to Red Lake?
The early bite on Red has always been fantastic. People race up there every year. And so we started seeing everything lock up. You know, duck season's still open, which is quite frankly frustrating. And there's no ducks up here. So what do you do on a Tuesday when you have no class and you can't go duck hunting? You go walleye fishing. We see all the lakes, the little lakes are freezing up. You know, Lake Irving in Bemidji, people have been fishing for a week, and that's a different lake than Red. It's a lot smaller, but depth-wise, it's very similar. You know, you see on Facebook, the bigger resorts on Red, the ones that people normally go on, they're getting prepped to launch people out on Wednesday. And we were going up on Tuesday. Reported been 7 to 8 inches of ice. They were going to let out four-wheelers on Wednesday.
Yeah.
And one of them, one of the biggest resorts, had a road staked out 4 miles. And we'd seen pictures of side-by-sides, four-wheelers, even a skid steer out on the ice marking these roads.
Skid steer?
A skid steer was out there. And not very far. But I see that. It's, well, let's go walk. You know, we were going to walk. We thought about bringing the four wheeler, and by the hand of God, when we went to look at it Monday at, you know, or Tuesday morning, I guess at 1 a.m., the middle of the dark and it's 0 degrees, we find the throttle's frozen wide open. So we put a kibosh on that, and thankfully, because that four wheeler would still be on Red Lake right now.
Yeah.
But so we decided to walk and get out there, no problem. We go out of a resort who is open to people walking. We get out there, we stepped over this pressure ridge that was about 1 foot wide. You know, and on big lakes, any big lake, any time in the year, the ice heaves. A lot of people know that, whether it's Mille Lacs, Lake of the Woods, any of these big lakes, when water freezes, let's go back to elementary school physics, when water freezes, it expands. And that's just what happens. And so to me, that was no big deal.
So tell me about this pressure ridge then. Dan Amundson, our guest, Sporting Journal Radio, he's talking about the rescue on Red Lake the other day. He was one of the anglers that was on the ice got rescued up there. So you're walking across this pressure ridge. You said it was about a foot wide. How long was it? Was it open water? Was it just a crack in the ice? Was it raised up? What did it look like?
It was really just kind of a crack. There might have been some open water, but I think it was a little skimmed over. And to me, we didn't really even blink an eye at it. We walked right over and said, no, let's just get to our spot. Because at this point, we were late on the lake. We wanted to get fishing. And it went down a decent ways, but we didn't really look at it because we didn't think much of it. It was nothing new to us.
Was there other people with you going across this? Was this a trail that people had already gone across?
So there's no marked trail out of this resort. But there, we could see as soon as we pulled up to the launch, there were three other fish houses out there. They were already set up fishing. And so we didn't blink an eye at it.
So you go across the pressure ridge and you go how far after that?
So the pressure ridge is probably 50 yards offshore. And I think we were about a half mile out.
Okay.
So we weren't that far, but walking distance, we didn't really want to get any further. And we had a decent spot marked out there.
You get out there, you get set up. How much ice were you drilling through?
Yeah, about 7-8, but basically exactly what people have been saying. You know, it for middle of November, there's a healthy, healthy amount of ice.
Now, the one question, I know a few people on the Sporting Journal Radio Facebook page were asking, there was a few people asking this question. None of the news sources asked this question, though, but how was the fishing?
The fishing, you know, okay, so it was good. We finished with 7 walleyes by the time we had to leave. It wasn't your traditional early ice ready. It wasn't the 70, 80, 90 walleyes a day that you can see this time of year up there. But the water's a little dirty still. And so I think give it a couple weeks. By the time resorts are going to let people out, I think the bite's going to absolutely be on fire. The fish were very aggressive. Both rattling spoons and dead sticks were working. So I think there could be some really, really good fishing up there in the next week or so.
Dan Amundson, our guest, talking Red Lake right now. He was out there fishing during the rescue the other day. So you're there fishing, you're catching walleyes, and then you guys said, all right, it's time to pack up, or all of a sudden you realized, oh boy, we need to get out of here.
Well, it started, you know, again, we went out, saw no open water. The lake looked completely locked up. As we're fishing, you know, you get kind of bored scrolling through Facebook. One of the bigger resorts posted a satellite image and said, well, we're going to hold off on opening up tomorrow. It seems something's
oh,
broken
boy.
Free. And at this point, you know, it's still, okay, well, that's iffy, but...
What time of day was this?
This had to be probably about noon, right in the middle of the day.
Okay.
But this resort still weighs away from us. You know, Red's a very big lake. We're thinking, okay, maybe we're all right. We keep fishing, whatever. Don't think much of it. And then we start doing some research and thinking, okay, maybe we should think twice about this. And I look in the comments of that Facebook page and there's this guy way on the east end of the lake. And we were closer to the southwest corner where you can fish. And so we'd seen all of a sudden this guy post, oh, yep, we're trapped. There's a crack out here in between us and shore.
Oh, boy.
And that was kind of the big telltale sign. Well, okay, we should maybe go check that ridge. So two of my buddies we were with get out of their house and go check it. And we stayed put because when we stood up, our ice house was about to blow over. The wind was blowing pretty good. And on glare ice, things slide.
Mm-hmm.
And so they go out and check it. And sure enough, they come running back, and their house actually went across the lake, or blew across the lake, and I had to run it down. That's a different story for a different day.
I saw the video.
Yeah. So by the time we got back, or they got back, the only thing that was said, well, there's a 30-foot crack. There's a boat coming to get us in an hour. We got to get out of here. And at first, I didn't really believe it, but then we watched the whole trail of however many guys were out there with us start migrating to the crack, and a snowmobile came out and pointed us in the right direction. And
how'd they get the snowmobile out there?
I would have to guess he just water skipped it. Wow. I assume he's a pretty experienced snowmobiler. 30 feet, not that big of a deal if you know what you're doing, I guess.
So this guy in a snowmobile comes out, tells you guys, all right, you got to get out of here. Here's where you go. And who came out to do the rescue? I know in that news story you thanked a few police and fire departments, I believe.
Yep. So it was a mix of Killier, Fire and Rescue. I think they were the first people there and the main guys helping out. But Black Duck was there. They had an ambulance there. And Bemidji Fire and Rescue came up. They pulled up their fan boat just in case we needed to use that.
Cool. That would have been fun.
I know. That's what I was saying. I kind of wish we would have been able to go for a ride.
Can we just borrow this to go ice fishing out of for a while?
Yeah. But I think, one, we were lucky that they didn't have to use it, I think, because originally when they came out and talked to us, they said, we're going to have to leave all of our gear out on the lake. And I think they were planning on having to use that boat and only take bodies. That was making me kind of nervous to leave however many thousands of dollars of gear we had out there, but it's what you got to do in that situation. But they didn't end up using that. They had a little banana boat, basically, that they pulled two people across at a time, and then a small 12-foot John boat, little duck rig that they put gear in and towed it across. So we got everything across and everyone across with no issue.
And that water, so here's the thing. I know a lot of people were bashing you guys about ice safety and this and that and the other thing. But when you got 7-8 inches of ice, I know so many people that fish on much less ice. Now, I'm a believer in letting ice thicken up myself. Besides, I'm too busy trying to chase geese and pheasants, and I still got to fill my deer tag yet this year. So I haven't even taken my my electronics out yet and charged up the batteries. But soon. But anyway. A lot of people were bashing guys about ice safety and this and that on social media and wherever. Not that the depth of the water makes a difference, because when the water's that cold, you can, and I've experienced that your body will start to lock up and it gets, it's hard to function in water that cold. But no, it looked like those guys actually walked through the water across that crack. So how deep was that water where it opened up?
I'd have to say it was probably about 5 feet. Like you said, they were standing chest deep, maybe almost shoulder deep. But there's dangers always when it's ice and cold water. Yeah. But it's not like anyone was treading water or having to go under the water or anything. So I think that was, like you said, something that was very misinterpreted.
Well, I'm pretty happy. I've got a new Strike Master floating suit for this winter. Did you guys have floating suits at all?
Most of us did. I think I was actually the only one that didn't.
Well, it's time to get one of those.
Yeah, I know. But like you said, I got my mind on ducks and pheasants.
They're not cheap either, of course. But
no, they're not.
I think they're definitely worth having. And I finally just got one myself. So it's time that everybody get one. And ice picks, make sure you got some ice picks and all the other safety gear out there, of course. But glad everything went okay. Hats off to those guys that came out and took care of the rescue operation of this event that took place. And I'm looking forward to some fried walleye here.
Come on up.
Pretty soon. But Dan Amundson, I appreciate retelling the story of the rescue on Red Lake here on Sporting Journal Radio.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Coming up, Trent Marsh from Spy Point Trail Cameras to talk about the latest trail cameras that you deer hunters can get out there. Also, Curtis Blake from Haybale Heights Campground Resort with the Devil's Lake update. And Joe Henry joins us from Lake of the Woods Tourism next. If trophy lake trout and monster northern pike are on your list this summer, book a trip to Tazzin Lake Lodge in northwestern Saskatchewan.
Everything from numbers to big fish.
See pictures, videos, and more at TazzinLake.com.
This is quite the fishery.
Our five-star chef will feed you well after a day of chasing giants on Tazzin Lake.
Dream come true.
Get rates, dates, and more of what you can expect.
It could be the best fish you ever had in your life.
At TazzinLake.com. That's TazzinLake.com. Tazzin Lake Lodge is a proud partner of Tourism Saskatchewan.
Hey, anglers. Looking for a destination where walleyes, fresh air, and fish fries are a way of life? Look no further than the famous waters of Lake of the Woods. From Bedette and the Rainy River to the main lake up to the Northwest Angle. Here, you'll enjoy the best walleye catch rate in the state. Maybe you'll pursue world-class sturgeon, pike, or muskies. Plus, you'll find lots of full-service resorts offering charter boats, delicious meals, and lots of Minnesota nice. Come experience the walleye capital of the world. Come experience Lake of the Woods. Catch the details at lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
Now is the time to start thinking about chasing big walleyes on Devil's Lake. Get on the fish at Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort. Hay Bale Heights makes it easy for you to make memories on legendary Devil's Lake with guided fishing and lodging packages. Or bring your own boat and rent one of their cabins on East Bay. Hay Bale Heights offers a private marina, fish cleaning station, and the opportunity to relax and enjoy your bucket list trip to Devil's Lake, North Dakota. To book your trip, visit haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com.
Broadcasting from the Tazen Lake Lodge Studios, this is Sporting Journal Radio.
Now we're going to check in with Joe Henry from Lake of the Woods Tourism. Joe, everybody, of course, is getting excited about ice fishing, but I'll tell you what, I'm still trying to chase geese and pheasants. I still need to fill my deer tag, Joe. I'm not quite ready to ice fish yet.
Yeah, you know, I'll tell you, I'm looking forward to ice fishing. I'm still in kind of deer hunting mode, too. I shot a small buck last night, Brett, one for the freezer.
Nice.
Kind of a cool story. I was up in a tree, and it was the evening hunt, and I was up in a tree, and I was hunting the woods with a swamp adjacent to it. And, you know, as the evening went on after sunset, a little bit of wind, not bad, but the wind went down, so you could hear everything. And I heard some noise in the swamp. Here a little fox pops out, which is kind of cool.
That is
a little
really
fox
cool.
Kind of comes on the edge of the swamp, and it's looking around, just kind of mingling around. Sits down like a dog, you know, and just looks around a little bit. Well, then I heard another weird note. Just some noise in that swamp, and this noise sounded different. It was like a consistent noise, and it would stop a little bit, and then, well, then you could tell the fox was looking that way too. So I knew something was coming. Well, all of a sudden you hear that, you know, that deer make the alarm sound, and you could hear it bounding back. Well, the deer saw the fox and got startled.
Oh, sure.
So I'm thinking to myself, well, if it knows it's a fox, it'll probably keep coming this direction, I'm thinking. Well, sure enough, it kept on coming. And then to avoid the fox area, because it saw the fox, it just kind of went around it into the woods and got a good shot on it and put it right down. But, you know, nice little buck, kind of a fun little story. And tell you, for me, that'll burn something in my memory that I'll never forget. And I'm, of course, very reverent to take an animal that we're going to enjoy, you know, on the dinner table as well.
Absolutely. Venison is delicious. Fox are way cool to see out there. And that's what I always tell people about hunting in general, or just spending time out in the woods and in the fields. It's not just what you're not just out there to kill stuff, you know, you're out there to experience nature a little bit. So it's those types of encounters that, yeah, you do really, sometimes you remember those a lot more than the actual harvest of an animal or a bird. It's the interactions you have out there with other wildlife. Joe Henry, our guest, Sporting Journal Radio. We really should talk about ice conditions though, with everybody talking about ice fishing and, you know, with what happened, you know, on other lakes. What is going on at Lake of the Woods right now?
Well, we're making ice, and that's a really, really good thing. We got a really good start. So, you know, some of the back bays have anywhere from 4 to 8 inches on them. You know, I say a variance, 4 to 8 inches, it varies a lot. And those are back bays with no current, you know. So other areas, there's current and there's a skim of ice. In some areas, there's open water. So this is typical ice formation all around Lake of the Woods, with bays, with the river, with feeder streams that lead into bays, with the big lake, with winds and ice moving around. So, you know, everything is coming along really nicely, but we're certainly not ready yet. And, you know, Brett, every year I always like to just, you know, make a couple mentions. You know, first off, there's a reason why we always, always want folks to work through a resort or an outfitter when going on to Lake of the Woods, or really any lake if you have that opportunity. Here's why. It's because every piece of ice along that shoreline is different. There's some areas are springs, and some areas the ice didn't form right away, so there might have been waterfall. There's so many different variables. But these resorts and outfitters, they're watching that area that they're marking. They're marking trails as we speak, but they're going out there and they're checking the depth of the ice. In some cases, they're doing things to build the ice up, like flood it from the top. In some cases, they're going around problem areas. There's so many things they do behind the scenes to mark a safe trail. It doesn't make any sense to go off that trail. If you ever hear of anybody getting in trouble where they, they, you know, early season, they drop a tire of a four-wheeler in or anything like that, which is very dangerous. It's because they're going off the beaten path. So I always say, you know, work through the resorts, work through the outfitters. We're going to have a long ice fishing season. We got a really, really good start. You don't need to push it because the risks are just much too high.
Man, I'll tell you, when we went snowmobiling for Prairie Sportsman up to the northwest angle, you had to stay on that road because there were, you know, ice shards that jutted out that you may not be able to see. And if you were running wide open on a sled and you hit one of those, would be a bad deal. So sticking to those roads is not just for going through the ice, but if you're driving something, it's there's all sorts of safety issues out there.
Well, and I'll tell you this too, you know, every once in a while you get a troll on Facebook or something that might say, yeah, you just want those resorts to make that money. You know, geez, the resorts are charging like 10 or 15 bucks to get access onto the ice, onto a trail that they're working every single day. They're using snow plows, chainsaws, water pumps, labor. They're breaking stuff every day. I mean, the price is such a pittance for what the safety and then watching your backs and certainly helping you out if you ever get into trouble with getting a vehicle stuck or whatever the case might be. I just think that it's a no-brainer. And, you know, there are a lot of things out on the ice that can get you in trouble if you're not paying attention. And that's why it's just nice to have some expertise kind of watching your back. And, hey, I'm saying that whether it's Lake of the Woods or any other lake that you fish.
Yeah.
You know, if you have an opportunity to go out with an outfitter or a guide or a resort using a resort trail or road, man, I suggest it because it's just much safer. You know, the other thing, too, is sometimes people will use a trail to get out to the fishing grounds where the fish are supposed to be. And then they'll make sure they get way away from everybody. You know, make sure that you are communicating with people because that's when people get themselves in trouble, too, is they think they have to get away from the crowds. And you know what? There's early ice is a really typically very, very good fishing. But don't push it. The fish are going to be there. They're staged along that south shore in big numbers right now.
People want to go up there and do some ice fishing, of course. They can find out more about some of those fishing reports, conditions reports, and where they can find some of those access roads on your website, Joe?
Yeah, they sure can. You know what? Hey, Lake of the Woods Tourism's Facebook is a real-time info, but you know also our website, and that website is lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
All right, coming up, we're going to talk trail cameras for you deer hunters out there. Some of the latest trail cameras and trail camera options and features from Spy Point. Trent Marsh is going to join us here in a little bit. And we got some more fishing and ice conditions reports. We'll talk to Curtis Blake from Devil's Lake at Haybell Heights Campground and Resort when we come back on Sporting Journal Radio.
Hey, anglers, looking for a destination where walleyes, fresh air, and fish fries are a way of life? Look no further than the famous waters of Lake of the Woods. From Bidette and the Rainy River to the main lake up to the northwest. West Angle. Here you'll enjoy the best walleye catch rate in the state. Maybe you'll pursue world-class sturgeon, pike, or muskie. Plus, you'll find lots of full-service resorts offering charter boats, delicious meals, and lots of Minnesota nice. Come experience the walleye capital of the world. Come experience Lake of the Woods. Catch the details at lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
If trophy lake trout and monster northern pike are on your list this summer, book a trip to Tazon Lake Lodge in northwestern Saskatchewan.
Everything from numbers to big fish.
See pictures, videos, and more at TazonLake.com.
This is quite the fishery.
Our five-star chef will feed you well after a day of chasing giants on Tazon Lake.
Dream come true.
Get rates, dates, and more of what you can expect.
It could be the best fishing you've ever had in your life.
At TazonLake.com. That's TazonLake.com. Tazon Lake Lodge is a proud partner of Tourism Saskatchewan. Now is the time to start thinking about chasing big walleyes on Devil's Lake. Get on the fish at Haybale Heights Campground and Resort. Haybale Heights makes it easy for you to make memories on legendary Devil's Lake with guided fishing and lodging packages. Or bring your own boat and rent one of their cabins on East Bay. Haybale Heights offers a private marina, fish cleaning station, and the opportunity to relax and enjoy your bucket list trip to Devil's Lake, North Dakota. To book your trip, visit haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio. Broadcasting from the Tazon Lake Lodge Studios, this is Sporting Journal Radio.
We're back, Sporting Journal Radio. Thanks for tuning in across the network, by demand, or by the podcast. Going to head up to Devil's Lake now to check in with Curtis Blake from Haybale Heights Campground and Resort. Curtis, everybody wants to go ice fishing. What's going on up there?
Well, it has been a while since I talked to you, you know, but right now we're melting, believe it or not. You know, we're about 36 degrees and the ice that we did have is going away. Now we want everybody to know that, you know, yeah, ice fishing season is upon us. It's getting close. However, just, you know, if there's anybody venturing out, we do have a couple area lakes that are, you know, 3, 4, 5 inches that a few locals are starting to venture out on just walking. It's nowhere near close to ice fishing time. So if you do go out there, you know, be safe, be very safe. Let someone know where you're going. But we are pushing close. We're getting closer and closer every day here.
Yeah, I know a lot of people back where I'm at here in Western Minnesota too. They're getting real anxious. There is a house out on one of the bigger lakes in the area. I don't know. I'm still too busy hunting yet. And I did walk through a cattail slough the other day that was finally completely frozen over. And I've been breaking through a lot of sloughs this year during pheasant hunting. I dumped a lot of water out of my boots. So I'm kind of excited to see the sloughs starting to freeze over a little bit, but, I'm just not quite ready to get out on the lakes yet.
See, and that's just the thing, is it's just starting. Yeah, I mean, we've had some really cold nights. I think last week was very close to record lows for what we've seen out here, which is what's helping make this ice right now. But it's still just not there yet. You know, like you, I'm out doing the hunting thing. I'm out hunting whitetails right now. And a lot of other people, our gun season in North Dakota opened last week on Friday. A lot of people getting into that. You know, but we're right there with ice fishing. Everybody's starting to think about it. Everybody's antsing to get out there. And, you know, it'll be here before you know it. We'll be out in those snow bears and we'll be catching a bunch of those Devil's Lake jumbo perch.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. We are kind of talking ice, walleyes, and whitetails in this week's show. We're going to talk to Trent Marsh from Spy Point Cameras here in just a second about deer hunting. But you had kind of a cool experience out there deer hunting recently, Curtis.
Oh yeah, no, I've been, I'm from Minnesota. You know, I've been out here in Devil's Lake, North Dakota now for over 10 years. But I come from Minnesota, you know, back up on the Canadian Minnesota border way up north, and hunting whitetails up there all my life. You know, it was, you know, blast. I've still always gone back up there for my deer camp, but this year I decided to, you know, kind of start doing the North Dakota thing. I haven't reverted to calling my 10 pointers 5x5s yet.
that's definitely a North Dakota thing.
It's totally a North Dakota thing. But I have been out and spending a lot of times in the woods. And I tell you what, it's really neat out here in North Dakota, seeing what these deer do and the differences as opposed to hunting in Minnesota, thicker woods, hunting out here, these big corn-fed whitetails. And I'll tell you what, we have some bruisers. There are some absolutely wonderful deer out here to be hunted, and it's just the rut's just kicking off, and it's been a lot of fun. It takes up a lot of time. You know, that's why that fishing, don't get me wrong, is I'm very excited myself to get out there, but it is also, this is a nice time of the year for me to be out enjoying the wilderness on my own with the whitetails.
I grew up gun hunting in northwestern Wisconsin, and then I picked up bow hunting when I moved to North Dakota. And it was, I went through the same transition as you did in just the difference and seeing some of those big bucks routing the prairie. It just, same with seeing moose in North Dakota. It just seems odd to me after spending so much time in northeastern Minnesota and northwest Wisconsin, where deer are in the timber and you see the big moose in that Canadian shieldish country. And then to see them out in the prairie standing in a bean field or something, it was a little bit of a difference.
Odd, like you said, is the perfect word, odd. But it is, you know, it's the same thing for me. The bow hunting obviously is a much more intimate way to be out in the woods with a weapon, taking down, you know, a big game like a deer. And it's much more different as far as, you know, getting, you got to be up close and personal with those things. You know, I sat out there in my stand the other night and must have had a dozen does and a couple year-old fawns. And then a couple of these smaller bucks that would come in and out. And I mean, they're right there. They're 20, 30 feet away from you. And it is just, it's really neat to just watch these deer, see what they do, and see how they just act differently from Minnesota deer.
Well, a lot of fun. Not just Minnesota deer, but they act differently when they're not getting shot at by, you know, high powered rifles or slugs, you know, and they're not running for their lives. And sometimes, right. Sometimes you got to make a decision quickly on, am I going to shoot this buck? Is this the buck I want? And when you're gun hunting, you got to sometimes react pretty quickly because those deer are moving. And same thing with bow hunting, but at times, at least in my experience, the deer are just so much more natural in their movements. They're not, you know, running for their lives, for lack of a better phrase. They're just there, and you get time to check them out. And if you've been bow hunting, you've probably been spending a few nights out there or mornings. If you got trail cameras up, you're patterning the deer. You're learning what deer are out there, what bucks. And you're like, okay, that's that 6 point. Oh, that's that. I'm sorry, that's that 3x3 over there. You got that 5x5 with a split brow. Oh, there he is. That's the one I've been waiting for.
And, yep, exactly.
So that's, we're going to talk more about trail cameras and doing that with Trent Marsh here right now. As a matter of fact, because Curtis, we got to wrap things up with you, but I appreciate the time. And if people want to get in a snow bear and do some fishing on Devil's Lake out of Hay Bale Heights this winter, what should they do?
Yeah, you guys can check us out online, Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort.com. We have our info on there. We have numbers you can get a hold of us on. We are booking up fast. We're filling up fast this year. A lot of interest coming. But you guys, we do still have plenty of open days. If you guys are looking to book a trip with us, get a hold of us.
HayBaleHeights.com. Curtis Blake, thanks for being on Sporting Journal Radio.
Thanks, Brett. Nice talking to you again.
Trent Marsh, he's with Spy Point, and he joins us now in Sporting Journal Radio. Trent, how's it going?
Oh, not too bad. I appreciate you having us on.
You bet. Now, you're over in Indiana?
Yes, sir.
All right. And where are you guys at right now? You guys are opening up your rifle season this weekend?
Yep. Rifle season opens this weekend. We've traditionally been a shotgun state. So it's just been in the last few years that we first went to the pistol cartridge rounds. And here just in the last few years, they opened it up to traditional rifle cartridges. So that's been a big change for us here in the last few years. But bow's been open since October 1st, but rifle's just now opening.
I was curious about that because Minnesota is split kind of half and half. The southern half of the state is shotgun and the northern half is rifle. I grew up hunting deer in northwest Wisconsin, so I've always used rifles. I've only hunted with a shotgun one time in my life for deer. I wasn't a big fan of it. I prefer to bow hunt, but boy, if I'm using a gun, I miss having my 30-06 out there. What was the reasoning given, and how was the public reception when the change to allow rifles during the deer season over there? How'd that go?
I mean, pretty much the same thing you see everywhere. It was always the traditional, you know, we're too densely a populated state to allow rifles. And you know, there's arguments to be made on both sides. But I think as a general statement, rifles are considerably more accurate than your average slug gun. You can get more hunters involved more safely, you know, and the accuracy side of it, I think you're going to have fewer stray bullets. And there's been quite a few studies shown too that even an errant rifle shot is less dangerous than a tumbling slug at a thousand yards versus a rifle bullet. So there was the initial kind of pushback and hem hawing, same thing as we had for crossbows. But since they've come in, I think you know, the transition ultimately went smoother than people expected, and we didn't have, you know, a rash of 500 hunters injured on opening weekend of rifle season. So I think it's pretty much toned down now that it's here.
Interesting. Well, don't even bring up crossbows. We don't have enough time to get into the crossbow debate right now. But you bring up an interesting point there, because we, like I said, I only hunted with a shotgun and slugs one time, and that happened to be a late season chronic wasting disease hunt in southeastern Minnesota. And the southern half of the Minnesota is generally more prairie, where the northern half is more forested. So I always looked at the rifle versus shotguns with slugs as being more of a safety. The shotguns can travel further with the open landscape of southern Minnesota. That's why they were more about slugs. And I questioned the DNR about that last year during that CWD hunt, because they were really trying to get some hunter participation and knock down some deer so they could do some testing down there. And they were going, in fact, I think they did open up some hunting on private land to rifles down there. And I said, why don't we, you know, I said, is it a safety thing? And they said, honestly, it's more of an accuracy thing. They wanted to make it more challenging for people to shoot deer. So they made them use shotguns and slugs versus rifles versus a safety issue with rifles in the open landscape. So I thought that was pretty interesting. And, you know, and now I think more and more people are starting to be cognizant of efficacy and lethality of different weapons out there. And you don't want to have wounded deer running all over the landscape. Maybe we'll see more and more rifles being used. But that, again, that's a whole nother show. We could go on and on forever, I'm sure, about that. And Trent Marsh is our guest from Spy Point here on Sporting Journal Radio. Let's talk cameras. First of all, Spy Point's been around since what, 2004?
Yep. About 2004, our 15th year anniversary this year.
We got to take a quick break, but more of Trent Marsh when we come back from Spy Point on Sporting Journal Radio.
If trophy lake trout and monster northern pike are on your list this summer, book a trip to Tazzin Lake Lodge in northwestern Saskatchewan.
Everything from numbers to big fish.
See pictures, videos, and more at TazzinLake.com.
This is quite the fishery.
Our five-star chef will feed you well after a day of chasing giants on Tazzin Lake.
Dream come true.
Get rates, dates, and more of what you can expect.
It could be the best fish you ever had in your life.
At TazzinLake.com. That's TazzinLake.com. Tazzin Lake Lodge is a proud partner of Tourism Saskatchewan. Now is the time to start thinking about chasing big walleyes on Devil's Lake. Get on the fish at Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort. Hay Bale Heights makes it easy for you to make memories on legendary Devil's Lake with guided fishing and lodging packages. Or bring your own boat and rent one of their cabins on East Bay. Hay Bale Heights offers a private marina, fish cleaning station, and the opportunity to relax and enjoy your bucket list trip to Devil's Lake, North Dakota. To book your trip, visit haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com.
Hey, anglers, looking for a destination where walleyes, fresh air, and fish fries are a way of life? Look no further than the famous waters of Lake of the Woods. From Bedette and the Rainy River to the main lake up to the Northwest Angle. Here, you'll enjoy the best walleye catch rate in the state. Maybe you'll pursue world-class sturgeon, pike, or muskies. Plus, you'll find lots of full-service resorts offering charter boats, delicious meals, and lots of Minnesota nice. Come experience the walleye capital of the world. Come experience Lake of the Woods. Catch the details at lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio. Broadcasting from the Tazzin Lake Lodge studios, this is Sporting Journal Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Brett Amundson. Our guest now, Trent Marsh from Spy Point. Tell us what Spy Point offers.
We've got several different options. Every one of the cellular cameras is using either 4G or the LTE network. So if you're in an area where you don't have cellular service, that is part and parcel. You are still going to need that. It can't just magically make signal appear where there is none. But what you've got is the option to choose from two different carrier models when you're looking at cellular cameras from Spy Point. We've got our nationwide carrier model, and that's going to cover basically everybody other than Verizon. And when you go to purchase your photo transmission plans for these cameras, it doesn't require going to your cell phone provider. It's not part of your cell phone plan. It's not connected in any way. All of that data management is done right in the Spy Point mobile app. So you can select the photo transmission plan or the scouting package plan that makes the most sense for where you're using it. And let's say, I'm a Verizon phone user, but there's areas where Verizon isn't necessarily the best cell phone provider. Say I've got a lease in Kentucky where AT&T is actually the better service. I can purchase one of the nationwide cameras and put that where I know I've got the best service. And it's like I said, it's not tied to my personal plan. So it gives you a little bit more flexibility to make sure that you are going to be able to get good service and get those images out. Because ultimately, that's the advantage. Not having to make a trip, whether it's to pull cards, just to see what's going on. But then secondarily, the snowball effect of not actually having to put boots on the ground in your hunting location means fewer disruptions, less opportunity leaves sent behind. It really kind of cascades just on its surface. It's okay, I don't have to wait a month or 2 weeks to see what's on those cameras. But then you start looking at the other effects that has and less disturbing of game and that sort of thing. And that's where you really start to see the benefits. As cool as it is to have the images show up on your phone, it's what that means by not actually having to be there that really makes the technology stand out.
Absolutely. So you don't even need to tie it into your cell phone provider. So let's just break that
down. Not only that, you're not able to. It's all managed directly through Spy Point. So, you're not swapping. If you've got a SIM card laying around, you're not popping that in there. They're already coming with pre-activated SIM cards, and you're managing them on a bi-camera basis right in the app.
So that's actually your camera is essentially your phone, for lack of a better term, and then that's sending images probably to Spy Point, which we're accessing with the Spy Point app.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
So sometimes there's some confusion there. When I've got an AT&T phone, if I buy the Verizon model, is that going to work with my phone? And the answer is emphatically yes, because you're not directly connected with your phone to that camera, or if you've got multiple cameras, you are using the SpyPoint mobile app to access those servers, and the cameras are sending those images to the servers. So you're both accessing the servers just through a different mechanism.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Okay, and then so are there's different packages for different price points available for that service?
Yeah, so SpyPoint's actually the offers the only free cellular photo transmission plan in the industry. So you could purchase a cellular camera and never pay for cellular service. You're going to get 100 images a month transferred at no charge. So you could go buy, the Link Micro has been super popular this year. It's $150-ish price point for a cellular trail camera, and you could never pay a monthly photo transmission plan fee for that. You're only going to get 100 images.
Talking trail cameras, SpyPoint cameras here with Trent Marson, Sporting Journal Radio. You said there's a Verizon model?
Every camera is available in two different carrier model options. The Nationwide is basically every national carrier that's not Verizon. And then there's a V model that's going to connect to the Verizon network.
But everything else is the same then after that.
Right. Everything else is on that Nationwide. So unless you know you're in a Verizon only area, Nationwide model is going to give you the most flexibility in case, we hate to do it, but we know we lose hunting grounds and things change. Nationwide model is going to give you the most flexibility because it's just going to connect to whatever the best service is in the area, whatever the best tower strength is in the area that's not a Verizon tower.
Can you talk about what might be new for next year from SpyPoint?
I can't get into specifics yet. We took the industry by storm this year. I mentioned the Link Micro. We introduced that at ATA. And historically, we'd made the Link Evo available a couple years ago, and that had been, the most affordable cellular trail camera for a while at $250. And then we got the price of that Link Micro down to $150. We aren't going to go ahead and sit on our haunches for 2020 and try to live on the Link Micro. We've got other things coming, and it's going to be just as disruptive for 2020 as it was for 2019.
I like that word, disruptive. Not just we're going to have a successful 2020. No, we're going to be disruptive in the industry with the new products that are coming out. I like that. That's Trent Marson, SpyPoint cameras. Where can people find out more about these and then even purchase one? Because, when you think about it, I know a lot of people worried about the cost, that monthly cost of having images sent to your phone. But when you broke down those costs, I think it's a no-brainer. Any of those plans to me sound like a no-brainer, just to be able to not have to go out and check your trail camera as, really at all until you want to go out there and hunt.
And it really comes down to, everything's an opportunity cost. But, it's one thing if you're hunting 15 miles from home, but if you're hunting 2 hours from home, when I was growing up, nobody leased ground out of state. You might have a cousin that lives somewhere else that you might go hunt with every once in a while, but so many guys now are hunting two or three states and have leased property. You start adding up, I'm paying $10 a month for this camera plan. Okay, but how much are you going to spend in gas if your lease is 4 hours away?
Right.
How many trips are you going to have to make? What's that time worth, being able to go to your kid's Little League tournament instead of having to make a run to the deer lease to be able to pull cards because, batteries are running down. So everything's an opportunity cost, but that's also where another one of our we've got solar units that don't even necessarily need another battery. They've got an internal battery. It's patent pending technology where the solar panel and the integrated battery are all right on board. So it's cellular, it's transmitting right to your phone, and it's got an internal battery pack that's being solar recharged.
Yeah, solar. So, I thought for sure that was going to be the next thing that took off in trail cameras would be solar power for sure.
And I think a lot of it's headed that way.
Yeah.
But you can, if you want to learn more about the cellular, we also have a complete line of non-cellular cameras. Just go to www.spypoint.com. You can learn more about the photo transmission plans. You can learn more about the overall kind of the SpyPoint experience. That's really kind of the next evolution. At some point, trail cameras are trail cameras. They're going to take a picture, and you're going to look at the picture, and that hasn't changed a lot. But as the software that pairs with the hardware evolves, and we're able to create this larger digital scouting system, I think that's really where we start to set things apart. And some brands, SpyPoint, of course, are going to set themselves apart in terms of offering that holistic digital scouting solution that doesn't just show you images, but puts all of that information in a context that makes you a better hunter. I think that's really where we're going to be going as we move forward, and what's going to be really exciting for SpyPoint in the next coming years.
That, I think, is something that hunters can get really excited about, especially bow hunters. That's the fun thing about it, is being able to manage your property and see what deer is out there. And I wanted to talk to you about public land hunters. We're kind of running out of time here, but I wanted, for the guy out there that says, man, I hunt public stuff, what am I going to do with a trail camera? You know, what advice do you give to public land hunters when it comes to trail cameras?
Well, the cool thing about public land is, you know, protecting your cameras kind of goes along with finding good deer, right? If your camera is 20 yards from the parking lot, the chances of your camera being there in 6 weeks go down quite a bit, but right. So do your chances of killing a 140 on public ground. So, you know, getting out and away from where you're going to have a lot of foot traffic is one main thing. But the other thing is, depending on how you have your camera settings set up, the SpyPoint cameras all have a report stolen feature. So when you check the status on your camera or check images on your camera, you can see the last time that it had a power cycle done. So say you put that up in April and it's been sitting there, no problem, and you wake up June 1st and you look at the status that morning and the last installation shows June 1st. You know, you might have a potential issue. Mm-hmm. Now, you might not report it stolen right then, but again, depending on how you have your camera settings set up, you can actually send these images on every detection. You're going to go through batteries a little quicker, so you might need a solar unit or a 12-volt battery on it. But if that's the case, you've got a very real opportunity of having a picture of who might have walked in front of that camera and tried to make off with it when you got it. But you can flip that report stolen feature right in the app, and that's going to deactivate the camera from your account. And if that camera attempts to be reactivated, it'll show back up in our system. We can see some of that in our system. We can capture some of that information, and we can work with local authorities if need to try to get that camera recovered.
Well, anything you can do to help track down a stolen camera, I think, is great. And all this information is about trail cameras and being able to utilize them in the field with minimal impacts in your hunting areas, I think is key to being a successful deer hunter. Trent Marsh, SpyPoint, I appreciate the time here on Sporting Journal Radio.
Thanks for having us. We appreciate it.
All right, thanks to all my guests this week on the show. Make sure if you head out this weekend, and you should, go hunting, go fishing, do something outdoors, just be safe about it, all right? We'll see you next week. Sporting Journal Radio is a division of Macaba Media, LLC. Find us online at sportingjournalradio.com to listen to past shows, download the podcast, and more. And search for Sporting Journal Radio on Facebook and Instagram for outdoor videos, tips from the experts, and more. I'm Brett Amundson. Thank you for listening to Sporting Journal Radio. We'll see you next week.